Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Durrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Letter to the Romans. Many Christians live in fear because they feel that they don't measure up to God's standard. But Paul says you are freed from the law of death at the moment you are born again. There is no condemnation to those who are saved, because the law of death does not apply anymore. Yet even after salvation, it is still impossible for us to produce righteousness. Thankfully, Jesus fulfilled the demands set by the law of Moses, and we are clothed in His righteousness. But this means that every unsaved person is at war with God, and it is impossible for them to please Him. The good news is that the same resurrection power which raised Jesus from the dead is still available today, and no matter the sickness or disease, you can receive any type of healing, but you must exercise faith. Prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. This message is entitled, Faith and Healing. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm happy today to be speaking on faith and healing. We are in Romans chapter 8, and it's going to be one of my favorite messages here. I like to preach on healing and faith. I just was sitting here and figuring this out, and this year, 2017, it is exactly 50 years ago when I walked forward on a Sunday morning at the Little Baptist Church in Salt Lake City, Central Baptist Church, and surrendered to the ministry, and I was licensed. 50 years ago. And at that time, I didn't think 50 years down in the future. I thought Jesus was coming back any time. So it's been good to have been able to minister for those years. But there's one thing I noticed. In the beginning, you have a honeymoon. And we were praying for the sick. We were casting out demons. This was a little bit later while we cast the demons out. And it was so easy. But the longer you stay in the ministry, it seems the more resistance you're getting. And when things come easy 30 years ago, 25 years ago, you really had to fight hard and struggle with it in the same way. So what I feel is this, as we move on, as you mature, as you have more power, the devil increases his power against you, trying to discourage you and to simply slow you down. So let's read now from Romans chapter 8 and the first two verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let me talk to you folks that are watching us from the country of Sweden. In your Swedish Bibles, there's a lot of stuff that have taken away. If you have the Reformation Bible that just came out, and that's done by a private organization, had nothing to do with the denominations, and they are hated in Sweden. But the Reformation Bible that came out, they have it now, the New Testament, they work in the Old Testament, is very good. They have followed the King James Version, go back to the Charles the XII Bible, and they came up with a fantastic Swedish translation. Now, if you got all the Bibles in Sweden, the last part here, who walked not after the flesh but after the Spirit, has been removed and is not there. And, of course, if that's the only Bible you have, you've never seen anything else, you don't know it is missing. Remember this, if you do not know that something exists, you are not going to look for it. If you notice something exists, you begin to look for it, and here it is. Now, why is that important? For years, I remember pastors saying this, you know what? There's no condemnation to them in Christ who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They said, now, if you are walking in sin, if you have this problem, this and there, you know, you are not out of condemnation. And they put a guilt trip, a big guilt trip upon people. And they simply said, oh, I wonder if I'm in, if I'm out. Where's my salvation? Here's what Paul is saying. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, which means who are not unsaved. When Paul talks here about the flesh, he's talking about unsaved people, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I've been speaking here several Sundays now. There are three sets of laws. You have the laws given to Adam. You have the laws given to Noah. And you got the laws given to Moses. The law given to Adam said this: if you eat of the tree that I've forbidden you, you shall die. They did. The law of death came in. And the moment a human being is conceived, he's automatically condemned to death. We are under the law of death. However, when we get saved, we're no longer under the law of death. We are set free. There is no condemnation. That's what that means. And it's absolutely wonderful. Because, you see, you and I are not sinless. Every day we sin. And you says, well, you know, I'm not robbing banks. I didn't shoot anyone today. I've forgiven everybody. But you know, there's so many sins we do that we don't think about. Unbelief is a sin. And many times we come up against things, so we say, oh, God, how's this going to happen? I don't know. I got to worry about this. That's a sin. We got attitude sins. We get angry. We get disgusted. We are jealous. There's a number of things that flow in and out. We don't live in them. We reject them. We repent of them. But they are there. And if I am not, if I'm only condemned, if I'm sin free, then none of us will be free from the law of sin and death. So praise the Lord that we are free. There is no condemnation. And that is a wonderful feeling to know this. That when you drive down the road and somebody hits you and you get killed, there is no condemnation. You are going straight to heaven. You don't have to, oh man, I got to repent right now so I can go to heaven. No. If you are saved, born again, you are under no condemnation. The second thing I want to talk about here today is the Torah, or the five books of Moses, or the laws, cannot save you. It's impossible. In verse number 3, we read this: for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. There's several things in this verse. Now, the law is not weak per se. The laws that God gave are good. They still stand, except the sacrificial laws. The weakness is that because I have a flesh, I have a physical body with a sinful nature, I cannot fulfill the law. Jesus could. He had a body that he got from his mother. He got flesh and bones from his mother. but the blood was given to him by the Holy Ghost. He had sinless blood. Jesus was sinless. He was perfect. As a perfect man, he could keep all the law. He never sinned. It's hard for you and me to accept, but that's the truth. And because of that, he could be the perfect sacrificial lamb that would die for our sins on the cross, be resurrected, and through his death and resurrection, we have salvation. So the law is not weak. We are weak. And therefore, the law could not save us. Only Jesus. Because I'm standing here today. My righteousness is Christ. I don't have any righteousness myself. It doesn't matter how much good I try to do. I can never get righteous enough. So I have the righteousness of Christ. And I'm sanctified by Christ. I cannot sanctify myself. I'm sanctified by Christ. So it is Christ living in us. And Jesus came. He had to have a physical body. Jesus could be tempted. He was tempted by the devil. But he said no. And he won power over the devil. Let me read from verse. I want to go back here and read also from Romans 3:23. It's Romans 3:23 to get that in here. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are in past, the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. So praise God. You don't have to struggle. Simply relax in Christ and know this. Through him, you are justified. You are righteous. That does not mean that you go out and live like hell and do all kind of sins. If you are saved, you don't want to do that. And if you do sin, we ask for forgiveness. So if a person lives very bad, a lot of sins, is not having any problem over it, does not feel any guilt, I would say this, I'm not sure that that person really is born again. Then in Romans 8:5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. They that are after the flesh, who are they? Unsaved people. For the unsaved people do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. If you are saved, you are looking for things in the spiritual world. You want to know more about God. You want to live in his power. You want to worship him. Unsaved people have no desire for this. They are living in their flesh. Carnally minded, those that are carnally minded, that's death. That's worldly minded. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Some Christians are carnally minded. They simply care for the world. And here's what happened. Jesus had a parable. He said, if a man build a house on a rock, it will stand. If a man builds a house on sand, it will fall. And to those Christians that are trying with their own power to get more money, more power, increase their business, do this and that. And they're doing that 7 days a week, never take a Sabbath day, and just pursuing, trying to get more and more, saying, you know, I'm going to use this to finance God's work. And God said this. Jesus said, seek you the kingdom of God first, and all these things will be added to you. If you are carnal-minded, what will happen is this. You might be successful for a while, and then you will lose everything. It will just crumble. But when you are in the Spirit, and you do what God says for you to do, then you will prosper. There was an American businessman and a contractor by the name of Letourneau that lived. He's gone with the Lord, to be with the Lord now. But he was very active in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. And matter of fact, he started out in the 30s. He's the one that built and increased the technology on the bulldozers, road machines, and so on. And God blessed his hands. And he made a decision. He said, I am going to tithe 10% to God, faithfully. And God prospered him. And the more God prospered him, he said this, I'm making too much money. I am going to tithe 90% and keep 10. And the more he gave, the richer he got. They had bought, him and his wife had bought a house in the early days of their marriage. And even after he became a multimillionaire, I mean lots of money, they still lived in that house. And he didn't buy himself or build himself a mansion. He built a college down in Texas that is still there today, training young men and women for Christ. He gave a lot to mission work. He helped a lot of places, ministries. Not putting in $10 here and there. Putting in $10 million, $50 million. He simply used his money to further the kingdom of God. And God prospered him and prospered him. And then he went to be with the Lord. Now, Jesus said, do not lay up treasure for yourself on this earth, where you have thieves, rust, and moth, but lay them up in heaven. And you see, everything we do for God, that we invest in the kingdom, is invested in our eternal security. We will have social security, so to say, in heaven. And whatever you put up there is waiting for you. Whatever you store here, you will not take with you. That does not mean you've got to live in poverty. God's not saying that you cannot have a nice home, a nice car. But you see, you don't have to live a life of luxury. You can only drive one car at one time. You can only sleep in one bed at one time. And you know what? You can only eat one meal at a time. So, don't be a hog where you're hoarding. And then we read this in verse number 7. Because a carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So when you deal with unbelievers, you got to remember now, the unbeliever has a dead spirit. They cannot communicate with God. They have a soul that has a sinful nature, but has not been redeemed. And an unbeliever really cannot do good, per se. There are different degrees of our unsaved people are. But you see, they can never be spiritual. And they are citizens of the kingdom of Satan. And the demons have access to them. And demons will use unsaved people to make life miserable for you. So we need to understand, we are dealing with people that are handicapped. They are mentally retarded. Let me repeat that. Unbelievers are mentally retarded. They might be intelligent. They might be able to do mathematics. They might be able to do a lot of things on earth. But spiritually, they are retarded. So when we deal with them, we got to understand that. So we got to love them. We got to realize, here's a person that's handicapped. And the only way to really win unsaved people is to show them love, unconditional love. Many will hate you. And you simply say, well, that's it. They hated Jesus too. They hated God too. So remember this. Unsaved people cannot please God in any way, shape, or form. And we find that in verse number 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who are unsaved cannot please God. They're not citizens of the kingdom of heaven. They don't have a born-again spirit. They are enemies of God. And we need to pray for them and help them to get saved. Verse number 9. But you are not in the flesh. You're not unsaved, but in spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If you're not born again, if you do not have the Spirit of God in you, then you are not saved. How can you know that you're saved? Is there a way to know that you're saved? There is. If you get convicted over your sins, if you have a desire to read the Bible, if you have a desire to pray, if you begin to feel love toward other people, these are signs that you are saved. If you have no desire to read the Bible, no desire to pray, no desire to love people, no desire to communicate with God, I would say that most likely you are not saved. Then verse number 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. When a person is saved, the dead spirit is born again, and the soul is redeemed. The physical body does not change, and is still subject to the law of death, and will one day die. Remember this, your body is not saved. Your body will not be saved. At the end, if we are here, when Jesus returns, our bodies will change. If we die and our bodies go in the grave, God's going to resurrect them. And he's going to refurbish them. But as the body is now, my body and your body today, it ain't going to heaven. It's going in the grave. Let's talk about the resurrection power. The resurrection power. Verse number 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. The resurrection power. Our church is called the Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. What is that resurrection power? It's the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about when Jesus died on the cross. He had been beaten, which meant 39 lashes. His skin had been ripped off both in the front and the back. He had a spear shoved into his side. His body had died. His blood had been spilt. And he had been 3 days and 3 nights in the grave. The body. Jesus himself was in paradise. Here's a body now, mutilated, destroyed, dead, decayed, beginning to decay. Rot is another word. Here comes now the Holy Spirit. And with his power, he resurrects that body. In the twinkling of an eye, every cell in that body has been changed. The cells that Jesus had prior to his death were changed from this world to a resurrected body. It was refurbished, and then Jesus came back and moved into his body and walked out of that grave. He showed his body to the apostles. He could eat fish and bread. He could walk through walls. He could be invisible. He could be visible. That body was a resurrected body. And that was done through the power of the Holy Spirit. Slow down for a second now and think. Paul says this, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Here's the good news. By his stripes we are healed. God knows that you need a physical body to be on this earth. Your soul mind cannot work on this earth. You got to have a body. Amen. And he's made a provision. Our bodies are not saved, but they can be refurbished. They can be strengthened. They can be healed. Amen. They can last for 120 years. Amen. Let's begin by looking at Luke chapter 23. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 30. That's Luke 23 and verse number 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to put to death. And when he would come to the place which he called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he parted his raiment and cast lots. Then we go down to verse number 39. And one of the malefactors with the hand railed on him, saying, if you be Christ, if you be the Messiah, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God? See, you are in the same condemnation. And we indeed justly will receive the due reward of our deeds. For this man has done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, verily I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Paradise was underneath earth. is a place next to hell. There is a gulf between them, and those in paradise could watch those in hell, and those in hell could see those in paradise, but they could not go to one another. Paradise was a nice place, it was a waiting place. And all the saints in the Old Testament had to go to paradise because Jesus had not died yet. He had not paid for the sins yet. And they had to wait in paradise until he had paid for our sins. Let's turn to Luke chapter 16. It's the Gospel of Luke chapter 16. I'm going to read just a couple of verses here about hell. Have you read this from verse number 19? There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and designed to be fed by the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, wherever the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel to Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom in paradise, same thing. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he sees Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented as flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received the good things. Likewise, Lazarus, the evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so the day which will come pass from thence, to you cannot, neither can it pass to us, that would come from thence. Jesus was here. He was not tormented. He was in paradise. And then we go to 1 Peter. And we turn to chapter 3. That's 1 Peter chapter 3. And we read from verse number 18. For Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. There was a time when Jesus was there for 3 days and 3 nights, he crossed over into hell. And in hell he preached. And he simply proclaimed, I am the Messiah. I have died on the cross. I have paid for the sins of the world. And there now is salvation. You that are in hell can never be saved. You did not believe in me when you were on earth. You didn't look forward to the Messiah. You rejected that thought, and you died your sins. And I want you to know that after hell, you could be judged, and then the lake of fire. The word for preaching that's used here is a different word for preaching in the other place in the Bible. And the word used here simply means kerygma. It means proclaiming something with no action. In other words, you can proclaim it, but people cannot have any action. They cannot do anything about it. It's like, for example, someone come up and say to you, you are condemned to death. We're going to execute you now. And they put you in a chair. They strap you down. So you know this. I am going to die. That's kerygma. You cannot react to it. Jesus went back to paradise. And he told the people there, we don't have the scriptures, but this is what I understand. I have to be resurrected. I have to go to the Father. I will bring my blood with me. I have to present it in heaven. And once the Father has said, the blood is accepted, I will come back to earth, and I will be here for 40 days, and then I will ascend. And when I ascend, y'all going with me, which happened on the day of his ascension. Remember this. When Mary saw Jesus, he said, don't touch me, because I have not yet been to my Father. But a few days later, actually a week or 2 weeks later, he told Thomas, touch me, stick your finger in my wound, feel it, look at my hands. He could be touched. Why? He had been up in heaven. He had presented the blood. It's a done deal. He came back for 40 days, book of Acts chapter 1. He walked with his apostles, gave them an extra class, and then he ascended. In Matthew chapter 28, I'm going to read this too, then we're going to go into our message here on healing. That's Matthew chapter 28. And this is really something we should read very often and think about. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him, the keeper did shake and became a dead man. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not you, for I know you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He rose. Without the resurrection, there would be no gospel. This is absolutely fantastic news. Let's go back now to Romans chapter 8. That's Romans. And we go back into the 8th chapter. And we're going to pick it up now in verse number 11. I read it before, I'm going to read it again. The spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead should also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. That Holy Spirit is residing in us. Right now, you're not sitting in a chapel. You're not watching us or listening to us. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit power is surging through your body constantly. Every cell is rejuvenated constantly. The power is there. Why am I then sick? Because there's a battle. And there's a fight. What we have to do is, we have to appropriate what God, through Christ, has done for us. I'm not going to read Genesis 6:3. But in Genesis 6:3, God said this, I will set the age of man to 120. That is a spiritual law. Most people do not get to be 120. They die off young, middle age, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. They drop. As a matter of fact, most people think like this. Hey, you're turning 80? You're just about done. Okay? You're turning 90. Oh, man, you're walking on thin ice now. Expect, you know, to go any time. If you hit 100, they says, well, that's luck. You know what? We can maintain our health. We can do it. Here's what you got to do. Number one, you got to follow the manual, the Bible. God told us what to eat and not what to eat. You follow that. Then you're in prayer. And then in your mind, you picture yourself healthy. How many times have you heard this? I caught the cold. Are you catching the cold? What does that mean? You're simply speaking and say, well, I'm going to catch the cold. I caught the cold. No, Satan attacked you. We see ourselves as feeble. You've been watching from the beginning. You saw about a Sotiris up here. He's still working full time. He still drives his big delivery truck. He's still unloading and loading. He's a wholesaler in food. He just turned 80. He's just keep going. Now, you see, he's decided this. Why should I retire when I'm healthy? Why should I slow down and sit here, you know, say, oh, well, yeah. Why should I do that? God said, occupy, stay busy. You can retire from a secular job if you want to, but you don't want to retire. You want to do something else then. You want to serve the Lord. Become a missionary. Do whatever. It's in your mind. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Now, I just told you before we started that I have 50 years in a ministry. I surrendered to Christ April the 17th, 1967. 50 years. Have I been sick? Yes. Did God heal me? Yes. Did I have cancer? Yes. Did God heal me? Yes. Have I had problems? Yes. God heal me. I might have been down a few days here and there, but I'm still strong, still moving, and I'm still going to be moving. My inside are working just fine. I might have a few wrinkles on my face. Had a Mack truck run over me lately. My hair might be thinned out, a little bit gray, but you know what? I still got a punch. It's all in your mind, in your spirit. In Isaiah chapter 53, let me get there. Isaiah chapter 53, and you pick it up here from verse number 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before us as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, but we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid his world faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. Now the tense in Hebrew here is fantastic. In the Old Testament, it's written in Hebrew. It is future. It simply says, by his stripes, we are in the future healed. Amen. This was written about 700 years before Christ. Now let's move 700 years in time and go to Matthew chapter 8. That's Matthew, the 8th chapter. Matthew 8, and I'm going to pick it up in verse number 16. When evening was come, they brought to him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast the spirits out with his word, and healed all that were sick, that he might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities, and he bare our sicknesses. That he might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities, and he bare our sicknesses. By his stripes we are healed. Then we go to Acts. No, not Acts. I want to go up to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 2. If you pick it up here, in verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. By his stripes you were healed. And Peter speaks in past tense. The question comes now. Why are some people not healed? Why are we sick? What happened? We have a devil. And the devil walks about like a roaring lion. If we have unforgiveness in our hearts, he has a right to afflict us. If we carry anger, he has a right to afflict us. What about Job? What was Job's problem? Job's problem was, he was a righteous man. Job was not attacked because he was bad. He was attacked because he was good. And thus we can see that there are several reasons why we are not healed. And the question is, what can we do about it? Well, this is what I have done in my life. If I get sick, I know this. God didn't put the sickness on me. So I'm not going to blame God. I'm going to blame the devil or myself. If I'm careless, walk around in wet clothing, go outside, get myself chilled down, and my immune system is low, of course I'm going to pick up some problems. Just like you have a car. You drive your car. You change the oil in the car. You check everything out. You don't drive your car in a ditch. You don't like people destroy your interior. You protect the car. So we need to learn to protect our bodies. But whenever you get attacked, this is when we get holy anger. And we simply say this. This is enough. Devil, I'm tired of you. I'm tired of you. Turn to Acts chapter 3. The book of Acts chapter 3. If you pick it up in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being in the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms on the end of the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, had said, look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle both were his strength. And he leaping up stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. Peter now standing there. He saw this man laying there, withered, legs thin, feet almost destroyed. And he looked down upon him. And what he saw with his flesh was a man's body destroyed by some kind of disease. With his spiritual eyes, he saw that man whole. He saw him healed. Peter had been with Jesus. He had just been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he simply looked upon him, and he spoke and said, he took by the hand and rose him up and said, rise and be healed. Did a man have any faith? The Bible doesn't say. He was probably not even saved. But immediately, the resurrection power kicked in. And later, if you read that chapter, this man went around praising God, worshiping God, and just thanking Jesus for healing him. He got born again. The first thing we need to do to get our healing is to line up our faith and thinking. As long as we think, well, it's going to be a long time. Well, it's going to be this or that. Not a whole lot's going to happen. But when you focus your eyes on Jesus and simply say, okay, I got a broken knee, I got a tumor, I got a hip that is out of joint, whatever it is you got, my brain is getting feeble, whatever it is, you can simply say, I'm not going to look at my circumstances. I'm going to look at Jesus. Let me tell you something. I was at Costco Friday, and walking around buying certain things, and I was looking for maple syrup. Couldn't find it. So I had this lady standing, I worked there, and I said, excuse me, I need to ask you a question. She said, yes. I said, do you have something sweet? I couldn't get it up my brain. And the devil said, you're getting Alzheimer's. You're losing it, man. And finally said, maple syrup. And she smiled at me. She looked at my face. And, you know, said, oh, okay, one of these older, senile persons, you know, poor guy. She said, yeah, I'll come here and I'll show you. Now, I realize that when you have speaking, you've got to be able to have your brain functioning, right? Gordon Ginn, my good friend, he quit preaching when he was about 70. Because he said, I cannot recollect all the words all the time. He said, I'm not going to take a chance. So what did I do? I said, you devil, you're not going to mess with my brain. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that. My brain is sharp. I don't have a problem. I will not have a problem. I'm not saying that. I don't have Alzheimer's. I don't have dementia. I don't going to have it. You're going to find me 120 years old. I'm still preaching, talking. And it might be Sunday morning. I'm finishing. I walk out. And I drop healthy. Very healthy. And it says, man, he was just healthy. Yeah, that's how you drop. Healthy. Not sick. You got to claim it. You got to begin to think it. Let me quickly take you. My time is running out. Hebrews chapter 11. Favorite chapter. Fantastic chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. And we pick it up here in verse number 1. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by being dead yet he speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated, should not see death. It was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Here is your key. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. God wants you to have faith. Total, absolute faith. Most of us have faith in the devil. You have faith in diseases, accidents, problems. We say, well, you know that there's always going to happen something. Let's have faith in God now. Does that mean you don't have a problem? No, you still have problems. We can overcome them. We can absolutely overcome them. Amen. By simply saying this, I believe, God, that you are what you said. I believe what the Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. I believe that Jesus is the healer. I'm going to say that Jesus is my healer. I'm not going to accept this. I'm going to get hopping mad. I'm going to say, disease, you do not own me. Disease, you are trespassing. Disease, get out of my body. I do not accept you. Kidneys, line up with the word of God. Gallbladder, line up with the word of God. Heart, line up with the word of God. Brain, line up with the word of God. And then begin to see yourself whole. Begin to see yourself working. Don't see yourself feeble, weak, going down. Get a picture in your mind. This is the picture you have. This is my goal. I'm going to get there. I'm going to be praising God. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to release. I'm going to drop my anger. I'm going to do all these things. And then I'm going to embrace Jesus and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And you're going to walk in that faith. Now the devil will contest you. He will contest you. He will say, you're a fool. You're an idiot. You're just fooling yourself. Can't be done. It can be done. You got to fight for it. You got to stand your ground. And having stand, you got to stand some more. And simply say, devil, get out of my way. I don't want you. I have no respect for you, devil. Your future is behind you. You're going to the lake of fire. Your demons go to the lake of the fire. Fallen angels go to the lake of fire. Get out of my way. And then you stand like this. You pray like this. You talk like this. And you move like this. And God will touch you. It may be a battle. It might be, you might be going taken down home to death, but you're going to be victorious. But you've got to stand. Remember this, unforgiveness got to go. Anger got to go. Jealousy got to go. All things got to go. And then take the hands of Jesus and say, Jesus, here I am. Hold my hands. He will clasp them. He would hold you. And he would say, let's go and do the work that I made for you. Now, you might say this, I'm not saved. I really like what I heard today. I'd like to get in on this. Here's what you do. All you have to do is to say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Jesus, I want to be saved. Come on in, Jesus. And he would save you. In a few moments, when we're done here, Charles Terrell will come. He will simply speak to you. He will give you some scriptures. Then he will pray with you. You pray with him. He will lead you to Christ. And you will be born again. To those of you that are saved and watching me saying, you know, it's been a long, hard way. And I've been fighting this or that. Yes, it can be a hard, long way. It can be a lonely way. But you got a choice. You can stand and say, I'm not going to leave this earth in defeat. I'm going to leave in victory. And I'm going to be like a bulldog. I'm going to get a bite. I'm not going to let go. Those are the overcomers. Get somebody to help to pray with you if you're weak. But learn this. Through Christ, you can do it. In Jesus' name. Brother Thomas, you come in closing prayer.
Father God, thank you for this day, Lord. And thank you for the word. Thank you for faith to believe, faith to practice. And we're just thankful that you are giving faith out free of charge, and that we can have an apple share of it. And we praise your name for that, Lord. We thank you for the beautiful weather we have here today in Northern California. We thank you, Father, that we're living in exciting times. We just give your name glory for all things that are happening in our lives and in our nation, around the world, knowing that you're sovereign over all. And we just praise your name, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 13th part in the series, The Letter to the Romans, and was entitled, Faith and Healing. Many Christians live in fear because they feel that they fall short of God's standard. There is no condemnation to those who are saved because the law of death does not apply anymore. Yet even after salvation, it is still impossible for us to produce righteousness. Jesus fulfilled the demands set by the law of Moses, and we are clothed in His righteousness. However, every unsaved person is at war with God because their mind refuses to conform to the Mosaic law, and it is impossible to do so without being born again. The good news is that the same resurrection power that surged through the body of Jesus and raised Him from the dead is still available today. No matter the sickness or disease, you can receive any type of healing. You don't have to be sick or feeble because Jesus paid for it with the stripes inflicted on His body. Good health is part of the salvation package. There is no place in the Bible where it states you must be sick in order to die. Prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. Remember, it's not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1584. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address, once again, is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.